Just a few broken pieces to work with, a handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with his sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. He took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece, made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. I can't explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin. Oh, but Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he needed his work within. With the skill of the potter, he molded me in the image of him. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace, saved by grace.
How y'all doing? Sometimes you can take a boy out of the hills, but you can't take the hills out of the boy. It just happens that way. I hope that's encouraged you that the gospel brings hope. The greatest cure we have for ISIS or any other problem in the world is to get the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission, starting churches. That's what needs to happen here in our country. I'm here at Porterfield. Missionary to South Sudan, and our work has expanded into East Africa and beyond with our assist program. I'm wanting to come here tonight and tell you all things that we're going to do, but want to show you work that's already being done in South Sudan and Uganda. Our work has expanded to Congo, and then in Venezuela, which is here in the Western Hemisphere. We've linked with a man that was trained by a BIMI missionary, a national there, and he started two big, strong churches down there. And then he's got a Bible Institute, and they're trying to start 10 churches out of there. And there's 7 guys right now currently trying to get help for, and there's a church out of Ludington, Michigan that went down there and started a new church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, in Venezuela. Churches have to start churches. Churches help churches to start churches. I'm going to be going into Cuba. I have commissioned, ordained authority out of the Rich Creek Baptist Church in Spanishburg, West Virginia. I have had the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That's nothing weird. It's what's in the New Testament, not anything to where they were speaking in tongues or jibber-jabber or weirdness, but the elders of our church, pastor and men he had confidence in, have laid hands on me and commissioned and ordained me to see Rich Creek Baptist Church and the doctrine that we believe and teach reproduced anywhere that I go as the Lord saves and calls people out for His name's sake. I can hold the office of an evangelist, which I believe is a church planner. I can hold the office of the pastor teacher, or I can hold the office of a deacon. That's not of my own authority. That's of authority of a local New Testament church that they have recognized the call of God in my life and have commissioned and ordained me to do the gospel work and fulfill the Great Commission out of the Rich Creek Baptist Church. And Blind Faith Ministries is its own entity. It's a mission agency. It's a local church ministry. And my pastor's been there 40 years, so what I'm about to say is just to clarify if anything would ever happen 50 years down to 20 years down the road, is that our ministry may have to move itself if our church would ever go a different direction. But what I say that to say, we need a local church's authority. And let me, I don't want you saying, is he saying anything bad about his church? My pastor's like my dad. The assistant who is going to succeed him is like my brother. We're all very close. This is just something that I say to clarify what I believe the Pauline method is, that churches start churches, churches help churches to fulfill the Great Commission. And as we try to raise support, this is what we're going to do, is start churches as and start ministries out of those churches. And a term in sports is to take what the defense gives you. That's what we've done with Blind Faith Ministries. It started in South Sudan. There was a war going on there, and we saw the opportunity to link with national men who were trained by one independent Baptist missionary there. And then there was a man and other men that have been into Uganda for a while, and our work expanded into there, partnering with those guys, with national directors that have accountability to me, and I have accountability to my church. And as a local church ministry, our board is made up of people of our church. My pastor did not force that on me, but being the man that I am, I wanted to protect myself from one of my greatest enemies, that enemy's being myself. A man left to himself with complete autonomy and authority will breed corruption every time. I understand that, because I'm a pretty corrupt man as it is. So, you know, you can sugarcoat it, and you can try to over-spiritualize and be hyper-spiritual about yourself. But when you realize how sinful you are, and really realize that you don't know how sinful you are, that you need to have people around you that you know if something happens that they can see everything. And that's how we set our ministry up. We're not fancy. We're not superhuman. We're just ordinary, common people. I'm a rough guy. As I'll preach tonight in my message, has been saved and transformed out of a very wild and rough life. And then as I was saved and lived for the Lord, I got away from the things of the Lord, and the Lord had to chasten me and discipline me. I'm not blind tonight from a congenital disorder. I'm blind because of the chastening hand of the Lord. I'm grateful for that, because if that had not happened, who knows where my life would be today. And I don't want to ever glory in sin, glory in what's went on, but glory in the grace of the Lord, glory in the fact He's disciplined me. I'm just, the thing that I am so sad about is I just didn't listen sooner. What could my life been with the experience that He gave me had I yielded to Him before He had to take such disciplinary measures against me as His child to try to correct behavior He wanted corrected? The Blind Faith Ministries was established in 2012 in a meeting we were not supposed to be in. My wife and I were in a missions conference as a last-minute ad. And from there, we found out South Sudan was an open nation. 44 days later, we touched foot on South Sudanese soil and had the privilege of seeing over 3,000 people make a profession of faith in Christ, baptized converts, and tried to get Shadow of Mountain Baptist Church established. We're in property disputes there. That we have a plethora of problems, and I don't want to sit here and I don't get into all of that because I want to encourage you, but there are many, many difficulties there. Whenever there's an open door, the adversary is present. There is spiritual warfare that goes on that I'm very creeped out and don't want to know all of what's going on, but need the protecting hand of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. Please pray for us. If you did not get a prayer card, I'm begging you to get one. If you have Facebook or Twitter, you may reach out to us on social media if you'd like to get our email updates, as long as the pastor of this church is okay with that. We encourage people to get our prayer updates, because it'll tell you what's going on across the globe. Our ministry can be summed up in John 15:5, where the Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And with my blindness and all that's went on, I married a the shy farm girl, and she's great. And I don't know how she puts up with me. I played it off when we were dating it. It was the greatest privilege in the world for her to get to date someone like me. The whole time I'm telling my friends, I don't know how this is working, but I'm going to keep rolling this one to see if it goes all the way. And it ended up happening that way. She is that much younger than me. I am that old. I'm 40. She's 29. So if you see that out there, yes, I robbed the cradle, following my father's footsteps, threw some candy to her. Amen. It's pretty bad when a guy you graduated high school with worked at a store and found out who I was dating and said, yeah, I remember that little girl. I used to give her suckers when she'd come into the store. That really happened. So I just appreciate my wife. Glad she met me when she did. I'm glad she did not know me prior to that. And I'm glad she was not around people that knew me very well at the time, but had a good friend who him and his wife lied and crossed their fingers about what a great guy I was to introduce us. So I appreciate her. She's a great blessing in my Christian life. And our daughter, Beth, they're not with me tonight. Their travel has slowed some due to Beth being an infant, and it can be very hard on her. So sometimes I fly in and out of the places that I'm going when they're great distance. I've looked forward to being in this meeting because I love Pastor Angel's preaching. I am going to be preaching to you tonight, but I was so looking forward to getting to hear him preach. I've got to hear him preach when I was over at House Anderson, and thank God for him and what God has done here in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Please pray for your pastor, pray for your church, and pray for us and your other missionaries as we represent what you stand for, partnering with you to fulfill the Great Commission. And it's not just that we get support to pat our own pockets. It is support that puts fruit on your account in heaven that moth and rust is not going to take from you. That somebody else is not going to come and spend for you the next generation. They'll be tallied and tallied after we're dead and gone. Men like Spurgeon, men like, as you've said under Brother Hiles, as you look at other men, Lee Robertson, people like that, the work that they did on earth, there's still, a lot of them are still getting rewards for that. Because if you'll live your life for Christ after you're gone, your ministry can continue on. And when you do that, there'll be people in South Sudan, you hear the stories that coming and telling you, hello, thank you for giving to me. I believe there is truth in that. And I believe that you ought to invest your money wisely. I think you ought to invest personally, you ought to invest your money wisely. But you may or may not get returns on it. Whenever you give to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get returns, and nobody will be able to take your reward away. Let me encourage you with that with missions. I wasn't asked to say that tonight. I'm just here to try to help your church. When we come into town as missionaries, it is understood that we need meetings and we need to raise money. People know that. And I don't want to sit here and just get up and talk about me or tell you what all we need and have to do. You all already know that. I want to say things that are going to help your church after I leave, that you're going to be more like the Lord. You're going to be more on fire to do what God's called you to do. I want to use my time on deputation as a ministry, and I may have to be on both sides of the world with our ministry expanding anyway. I want you to pray that God would raise up a young couple or someone that would come and work with us at Blind Faith Ministry or a few couples here in America to where our ministry could expand to different parts of the globe. I believe the Lord is on to something with what He's doing in our work, and we just pray for His hand to move it forward. It's getting about to the point that I'm going to need some help to continue to get it moved forward here. Pray that God would have that done. I'm at about 85% of my support, and I just ask you to pray that I can finish that out and start to help our guys and start to help in projects. This is my desire and burden, is to spread the gospel, fulfill the Great Commission before the Lord comes. Our days are very, very short. I know what's going on across the globe. Our days are short. We better take heed to what the Bible says and nail down more than ever. If you lived in places like that, you would be grateful and come and kiss the ground that you have the privilege and freedom to operate the way you do. It makes me appreciate America. I hear missionaries knock our country. I've been there and heard a national. I thank God for this man that did this, said that we did not live by faith, and he corrected him, said we do live by faith. It's a different type of faith. The greatest and most faithful Christians I know are right here in this land. They fulfill the Great Commission. They give. They sacrifice. They tithe. They give offerings. And God's risen up this country. Thank you. I'm grateful to be an American. I'm grateful to be in this country. I'm not resentful because people talk about the apathy that goes on here. I'm grateful for what this nation has stood for and what local churches like this have stood for through the generations. Thank you all so very much. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Don't take this for granted of what I've said, though. One generation being absent from contending for the faith will lead to apostasy. And what you've got to understand, I'm not going to preach. It's a message I've started to preach across the country about the work and ministry of Satan, is that all of his influences seem to be hitting on all cylinders right now. When you can be a presidential candidate in this country and you build your campaign on left-wing feminists and sodomites, and then you go take money from people that would put them to death and beat and abuse women, and nobody will call your hand on it, and every time somebody does, there's excuses made for you, you better understand that that is not just human work. There is supernatural work empowering all those systems to link together. And instead of just us agreeing tonight with what I'm saying, we better do something about it. You need to. I'm not just saying this to vote right, but you need to pray right. You need to study right. You need to give right. And you need to work for things that are eternal. Our nation needs revival. That will change a lot of the problems we have. I'm seeing this stuff as I go out. I want to help you with that. I'm going to say some things tonight, and it's a state of where I believe our nation is in, and it is really some things to do with me personally. But I want you to read along. Two things very quickly as you open your King James Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. It's when a blind man opens his King James Bible, I'm going to tell you what that means. Absolutely nothing. Amen. I'm probably reading from the book of Ezekiel, and you know, so don't think, man, this guy can really see, you know. Second thing is if I read something that's not in your King James Bible, I don't want you coming to Pastor Angel and saying, 25 years we've been standing for this and these others are going astray. What are you doing, Pastor Angel? He wasn't reading out of the King James, praise God. I've got the right Bible. I might have a bad memory, okay? So okay, you pray for me on that. And I'm going to try to get you out of here by about 8:15. I'll be watching that clock on the wall. Amen. You can count on me. I'm your guy. Amen. Glad we can enjoy ourselves in the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." I'd like you to mark the phrase found in verse 5 of our text, the chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord. This is my personal testimony of grace. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would move and work. Holy Spirit, please touch this meeting to fill the minds and hearts of people that may need to hear this message, that their life be changed, or you use it in the future to try to help preserve them in some sort of way. As I was planning on hearing Brother Angel preach tonight, and you've allowed me to be here, just use me as your man to help your people and anyone here tonight that may be lost. In Christ's name, amen. When we come to the book of Hebrews, it shows us the great person of Jesus Christ fulfilling the types of the Old Testament. We look at all the blood sacrifices of the book of Leviticus, and all of them are summed up in one sacrificial lamb who was God Himself. So often we get lost in the fact of talking about Jesus being the Son of God. We often forget that He's just as much God as God the Father, just as much God the Holy Spirit, and God Himself laid His life down to take away our sin. And it's beautifully written out here all through the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books to study, one of my favorite books to read, as it continues on about the blood. Very clearly says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Very specific in His death, very specific from the Psalms, very specific from the book of Leviticus as what was to happen to the God-man as He was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and offered Himself a sacrifice for sin. The great text in Hebrews chapter 6 that so many people that don't hold eternal security use as their launching pad as to why they do not believe eternal security is really a gross misinterpretation, but it is interpreted for us in John 6 that once they come to the knowledge of who Christ is and they willfully turn from Him, there's no other sacrifice for sin. They crucify Him afresh, put Him to an open shame. There's no other way for salvation. The Old Testament law will not bring them salvation, and it never did. What brought salvation was faith, believing that a Messiah would one day come to take away their sin. And then it continues on after the first 10 chapters and go into what we know as the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. And then it continues on into chapter 12, defining that faith is looking unto Jesus, getting your eyes off of the horizontal and looking vertically unto the true God of heaven, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And considering Him as the true and living God and the true and living Son of God that endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. And then we come along into our text, and it tells us that they had forgotten the encouragement unto them as little children and young people in the faith, and that they were not to despise the chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord is a very real part of believers that is so often neglected. The chastening of the Lord tells us very plainly that you cannot live any way you want as a born-again believer and expect the blessing of God and expect Him to be pleased and for you to get the same results that the world gets whenever it lives the way that it lives. The world is supposed to live the way that it lives because they are lost and dead in trespasses and sins. But the born-again Christian and the New Testament believer is to live a separated life. And that's not separated just from the world, but more than that, it's separated unto the Lord. A setting apart of their life unto Jesus Christ, the true and living God. And we are chastened of the Lord as we go astray from the things that God wants us to do. If you're a husband tonight, you will not be able to look at pornography and you will not be able to indulge in extramarital affairs and have the same results that your lost co-worker does. Ma'am, you will not be able to be the disrespectful Hillaryite in your home and the disrespectful to your husband and raise your children in screaming rage and demand equality, that you have the same role in your home, but you have the same equality and standing with God, but a different role in your home, and get the same results that your lost friends do. That won't happen. Children, you will not be able to be indulged in rock and roll and fornication and sin on all fronts and counts if you are a born-again child of God and your life not be dealt with. For the Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son. I hope that the blood of my chastening has been endured, that the Lord may deal with me as one of His own. Doesn't mean you're not a son if you're not everything that you ought to be, for oftentimes I'm not that. But what it does mean is when you're in direct disobedience to the Lord, you will be dealt with about your sin. And if you want to know where I believe America is at tonight as a nation, I do not believe we're under the judgment hand of God, but I do believe we're under the chastening hand of the Lord. And people have made statements and said, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if He don't judge America. Let me explain something to you why that is an inaccurate statement. Is there weren't 10 righteous people in that city. And I come here in Bourbonnais and I go over into Hammond and you go down to West Virginia, you go down to my buddy in Moxville, and you go down into Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and you go down into Panama City, Florida, and you go out into Mesquite, Texas, and you go out into California and Lancaster, and you go up there into Washington, and you go into Oregon, and you go into Minnesota and the Dakotas, and every nation that has churches like ours has always been a place that stood for truth. And as you look across our land and you see these different groups of churches and these different groups of believers, that's what makes it different than Sodom and Gomorrah. That was not a nation influenced by God. There weren't 10 righteous people in that city. And if I go to about any town in this nation, there are 10 people that love Jesus Christ. They may not always be exactly like me, but you will find 10 righteous people that are committed to Jesus Christ,
from Maine to California, from Washington to Florida, and everywhere in between. That's the difference. But what is happening is that they're becoming fewer and fewer. And evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And God is doing everything He can to get our attention. The financial problems, the spiritual problems, the moral problems, the moral apathy, the tolerance, all of these things that are coming on are going to lead to destruction one day if we do not stop where we are as Christians and change our course. And when you're chasing to the Lord, you need to remember this, that that does not just affect you. That affects other people that you don't have the say over. You can choose your sin, but you won't choose your consequences of what happens for your sin. So often I see people that are remorseful of the consequences they get, but yet neglect to identify their sin for what it is. I'm not blind tonight, as I said, from a congenital disorder. I'm blind from a terrible incident that happened on December the 10th of 2006, about an hour from here, being out in places I shouldn't have been, around people I probably should have not been with, people I love. But as the Lord had tried to deal with me from a deep-seated root of bitterness from the early 2000s, from something that happened to me that should not have happened, but yet reacting and living just like a secular humanist, playing the blame game to the point of being enraged and angry with God. Well, that's what the atheist does, isn't it? They deny God, but when things go wrong, they shake their fists towards heaven. If God's not real, why do you even bother? Joseph Stalin, on his deathbed, was said to have risen up, the great Tsar of Russia, the brutal man that he was, raised up and sit up in his hospital bed, shaking his fist towards the heavens, and then laid down and died. If that God that he said did not exist, why was there such a rage and fight against Him? The reason that happens is because our moral conscience identifies that there is a higher being and that there is a level of accountability in our lives to someone superior to us. If you don't believe it, study God's Word. If you want to go absent from God's Word and explain to me if it's okay to murder someone and you say no, you believe in a moral law. You know? And when those questions come up, and we act like those people act and how we deal with our own sin, we get ourselves into a world of problems. We trust in the tangible things we can see. We trust in our jobs. We trust in our spouses. We trust in things that we can get our hands on in order to help us, to soothe us, to comfort us. And the whole time, all God's wanting us to do is to look vertical. And in my personal life, there were some things that happened in my life that should not have happened, that happened from people that I had confidence in my 20s. And I let it just eat at me and eat at me and eat at me instead of just committing it to the Lord and moving on by faith. It allowed a spirit of anger that I had to deal with from my youth to continue to build and build and build. And the same sin, Satan was just able to walk into the walls of my life and take them down. As the Bible tells us that if you don't have rule over your own spirit, you're like a city that's broken down and without walls. Anytime you start to build something up, anytime you start to accomplish anything, because you have no rule over your spirit, Satan is allowed to walk in and destroy and rupture everything that you've accomplished. The sins of the spirit are always worse than the sins of the flesh. The sins of the flesh have all started because of the sins of the spirit. Dr. Ron Comfort said this, a statement that has stood with me, that immorality slain its thousands, but bitterness its tens of thousands. And in my personal life, I am so grateful that the Lord selected to chasten me and to deal with me and did not give me my way. The worst state you can ever be in as a Christian when you're under the disciplining hand of the Lord is for Him just to step back and say, have it your way. This is what the book of Exodus has taught us as we look at the children of Israel. When they were in the worst state possible was when they were in the wilderness, and upon their complaining and murmuring, God finally said, have it your way. And may He reach us and deal with us through the Scriptures and what we've learned to teach us to not have our own way. And to submit and subject ourselves to the authority of Scriptures, lest our lives spiral out of control. If you're thinking about getting into some sort of sin or you're indulging in some sort of sin tonight, remember it will manifest itself and it will cause more damage than you believe it will cause you. When they say your sin will find you out, I want to declare unto you today, if you confess it and forsake it, it may not find you out. If you indulge in it continually and you don't deal with it at the cross, you will not control the effect that it has on you. It's like standing in front of a lion and saying, I'm wounded and cut up and I'm standing out here without a weapon, but all I want you to do is you can wound me and you can break me a little bit, but you can't have me all. That's what sin does to us. There was a man that supposedly in Florida swam out into a bunch of shark-infested water. And as he swam out into those shark-infested waters, he got so far out that he was attacked by a shark. And whenever he was trying to get back and get away from that shark as they were starting to come in on him, and this is supposedly a true story. If it's not, it's a great illustration. Amen. The man's trying to get back to shore. And whenever this shark had a hold of him, he knew that if he didn't sacrifice something to that shark, that his life would not be saved. He knew a lot about sharks, and he rolled or did something a certain way to where that shark could sever his arm. And yet, he always said he never thought he would get that close. But once he did and it got a hold of him, he was never the same. He made it out alive, but he didn't come back the same. That's the same with my life. I love the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do mission work. I want to promote the gospel. I want to fulfill the Great Commission, but I won't ever have my eyesight doing it. The chastening of the Lord is a very real thing. You say, how do you know that? It's my life. I know what He allowed to happen. You say, but God doesn't operate. Wait a minute, friend. Before you start to say God doesn't operate like that, you better understand that the principles of justice are just as real as the principles of grace. The principle of dealing with His children are just as viable as the principles of mercy. And if you don't believe in the justice of God, then you must take Calvary out of the Bible, because the sin payment at the cross was an exacting of God's justice upon your sin and mine. And if you cut that out of the Scriptures, we have no salvation. And if you've been saved and changed by the power of the gospel, then you're one of God's children. You are subjected to His authority. You have to either choose to be a child of obedience or disobedience. Three things very quickly of why we are chastened of the Lord, and I'm going to let you go home. The first one is we are chastened because of the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. It's not because of something that's been put in front of us by Satan. We're chastened by our own sensual desires. And it is not just limited to human sexuality. I'm talking about an overindulgence in food. I'm talking about an overindulgence in entertainment. I'm talking about neglecting the things that are holy. You name whatever it is that is applied to your life that you crave and have to have, that takes you away from the things that are holy. It's the lust of the flesh, and it lusteth to envy. Let me say this to you tonight. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are all that's in the world. And you are chastened by the Lord to try to pull you away from your own self-destruction. If we are left to ourselves, we will imminently destroy ourselves. Atheism appeals to the intellectual because they make themselves the final authority. But you give me a 15-year-old kid in any school that's got a spiritual mind, they'll be able to out-debate them in a month, because you cannot exhaust the riches of Christ. And as atheism gets weaker and they become more of an agnostic position, Christianity and apologetics become stronger because you can't exhaust it. And people that are less intellectual will out-debate them every time if they'll just stay in God's Word. But the reason that you see so many bad things happening in our world is because people want their own way. And you and I are guilty of this, but we cannot operate on this premise and have the blessing of God. It is one of the biggest hindrances in our nation, is because we've got so much, so many things in the fat of our land that we depend upon it, instead of depending upon the God who's provided it. The lust of the flesh will result in the chastening of the Lord. But not only will the lust of the flesh result in the chastening of the Lord, but so will lack of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter over, says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And here is the victory that overcometh the lust of the flesh, that overcometh the lust of the eyes, that overcometh the pride of life, that overcomes the world, which those are what dwell in it, even our faith. Believing God. Believing the authority of Scripture than your own way. Studying proverbial wisdom and applying it to your finances. Applying it to your morality. Applying it into your walk with God. Applying it in how you're going to raise your home. This book is what your roadmap must be if you're going to have the life you need to have. And there are no exceptions to the rule starting right here in this pulpit. There are no exceptions to the rule. You are not an exception to the rule. I am not an exception to the rule. And you are dealing with an adversary that is 6,000 years in the working, that's smarter than any businessman that's ever lived, more capable than anybody that's ever stepped foot on a military adventure in their whole life, more lustful and more able to deceive you in your weaknesses and your strength. He's an expert in spiritual warfare. You better beware and leery of him, and by faith believe in the only person that can deal with him in the proper way, the person of Jesus Christ. If I were to be in business 50 years and made $500 million, I think you would call me an expert. If you believe that, say amen. If I'd been in business 100 years and I made $1.5 trillion, you'd probably call me the greatest businessman in all of history. Say amen. If I'd done it for 600 years and I was the ruler of a continent and a half on this globe, you would say I might be one of the greatest people in all of human history. Would you say amen? What if I'd done it for 6,000 years? You must understand that's the adversary you're dealing with, who does not sleep, does not rest, is superior to the human being, wars against the minds, uses the exact same thing in this church as he'll use in another church to cause separation and division, and people continually fall for it because they're not mastered and they don't master the Scriptures and they lack faith in how to handle situations in their life, and they let a certain toehold get them, then they become ankle locked, then they become knee locked, then they're completely submerged in such a deep mess that they don't know what to do. And so often we live our Christian lives this way, but that's not what has to happen. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Sir, figure out how to be the right kind of husband through God's Word. Ma'am, figure out how to be the right kind of wife through God's Word. Figure out how to be a father. Figure out how to be a mother. Figure out how to be a good church member. Figure out how to be a pastor. Figure out how to be a good staff person. Figure out how to be a good worker. Study the Word of God. It's there. And if we say it's the only thing for faith and practice, why is it not read and studied? Why is it not? We believe the principles of it. We go to church. We lack a little on our Bible reading. You would be better off to have a solid daily devotional life than to be faithful to every service here and have a total empty shell that you're dealing with. And I think your pastor would agree with that, because if the daily devotional part of it's right, your church life will be fine. Master and be mastered by the Scriptures. We're chastened because of a lack of faith. But there's a greater reason than that. There's a greater reason that we're chastened than the lust of the flesh and a lack of faith. We're chastened because of the love of the Father. I would not change December 10th, 2006 of many days I would not change in my life. Now, I'll say this, I would change a lot of days prior to that to where the Lord tried to get my attention and I wish I would have listened. But I would not change that fateful night that changed mine and my family's life the rest of our days. I'm blind from it. You say, you wouldn't change that day? I would not. It's one day I would look at and say, do not put a change on that if I could. You say, wow. No. Let me explain to you why. If I change that day and I continue on in the direction of sin that I was engaged in and going to, I might have two or three different wives. I might have had children that were affected by it.
I might have been in jail. I might have killed somebody. I might be further out in my sin. I might have put my parents in a grave. See, you just don't ever know how far your sin's going to take you. I can tell you tonight, on May the 13th of 2015, I'm blind and I don't see this wonderful crowd in front of me. But all those things I mentioned, none of those things happened. Why? The love of my Father. The love of the Father is why you're chastened. You go on down in the passage, the Bible says very clearly here to us of the chastening hand of the Lord. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. When you're being chastened of the Lord and you don't resolve it in a spiritual manner, you continue to walk with a limp. It's like having a broken leg that's not been set and put in place. And you limp and walk around, but when it's time to walk fast and get something done, you just can't do it. Any type of predator that tries to come at you, and they just knock you down easily and you're easy prey for them. But whenever that break is set and fixed, you can pick up and run your race and walk and be the Christian God wants you to be with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit as your guide. We need the healing balm of Gilead. We need revived. And we need to understand that Satan is luring us to sleep, trying to knock us out. We better be circumspect, redeem our time, or buy it back because it's very valuable, because we're living in evil days. The chastening of the Lord is my personal testimony of grace. I want it to be your personal testimony of grace by getting right with God in the small things so it does not become a huge tree that has to be sawed and cut out of your life, causing hurt and heartache to innocent bystanders. May this be what happens to your life and mine, that we may please Christ, live for Him, and do what we are supposed to do as we stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to come very quickly. Maybe you're visiting this church for the first time, and maybe you've just been coming and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've sat under the preaching of Brother Angel and you've had the opportunity to be here, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as the true and living God and your Savior. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm not saved, I'm not born again, would you by an uplifted hand say, pray for me? Pray for me, I'm not saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to slip up your hand at this time. If there's anyone like that, I just want you to look this way and I want to tell you this. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to come and seek you out. But there's no time like the present. Today may be the last time you ever hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Would you be saved before it's eternally too late? To the church here at Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, I move on forward. As I'd say, most of the people here are saved people, and this was geared more towards you. Has God hit anything in your life? I tried to be specific to the Scriptures, but let God work in your heart and life, knowing what you need. If you need to do business at this altar, we're going to give a very short invitation. You come and do that. But let me say this. If you don't come to this altar and do business, but you know you need to, will you do that somewhere tonight before the night's over? And would you make the change that God wants you to make? That's all I want for your life. May the Holy Spirit work as we get ready to hand off the invitation to Brother Angel to do with it as he feels led. Will you please, please get thoroughly right with the Lord, be what He wants you to be, that He may use you to do as He'd have you to do. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would work and move at this time. I pray You use Brother Angel in the invitation. I pray You would deal with people as You see fit. If they have loved ones that are astray, maybe people that aren't here tonight, that they would just do something to try to reach them. Deal with them where they are. Help them in every way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Angel, you go.
Now as they're closed and the ladies begin to play. As they play, you need to visit the altar tonight. The Lord spoke to your heart. No need to wait and play 85 verses of a song. You know what's going on with you. Do you have a name that you live but you're dead? Would you come tonight? I spent a few minutes on my knees before I came to the platform because the Lord spoke specifically to me tonight. If you've ever been chastened, and you know it was because of the love of the Father, where God stepped in and intervened in your life to change your direction, you feel about it like Brother Porterfield feels about his chastening. You're thankful that you have a God who loves you enough to stop you. But you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to turn. Many are praying, would you come? While we wait tonight, was your heart spoken to? The lust of the flesh, the lack of faith, the love of the Father, all three of those bring the chastening of the Lord.